Blog Talk Radio.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true Mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the word of truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of his power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in his ability to defend and vindicate his cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. the very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgement of his guilt, he adds an apology.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I am the host for this evening. So give me just a second. Let us begin with a word of prayer. I want to thank you for coming in and joining us on the prayer line tonight. And we're going to pray that the Lord be with us as we worship. Give me just a second. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you tonight, the throne of grace, to thank you for this prayer line, to thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy, to thank you for forgiveness of our sins, to thank you, Father, for your word and just blessing us tonight to receive the blessing from the word and also to receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit and our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for all these blessings, and we also lift up the sisters and brothers when they come to join us tonight, asking that you bless them and help them to share and put up on their hearts what they should share about and how they should give your testimony. So, Father, we thank you for the blessing of those that was on this prayer line, Lord, and we don't hear from them. And, Lord, may someone come tonight to join in and give a testimony, Lord, Father, of your blessing that they have received. So we thanking you. Now we asking you, Father, as the prayer line began, we ask that you would bless the speaker tonight, bless me as I host, and help us, Lord, as we on this prayer line, and help us to keep thine word. As we were listening to confession, he said that we should confess our sins and forsake them and turn around. Oh, Father, so much said for Sister Leola. So, Lord, I'm thanking you. Help me, strengthen me, Lord, that I turn away from my sins. And, Lord, and let not this yoke of bondage be upon me, that because Christ has paid the price already. And we should not be so, you know, to not think about what he have done. So, Lord, help us as we repent. Let us leave it there and what you have done. So thank you once again as we come and share and thank you for all these blessings and especially that your Holy Spirit lead and guide us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And we just want to thank you, sisters and brothers, also. And Sister Leola was praying that prayer because I know that Sister Leola have to seek God and thank him and praise him for what he's doing. He's given me to host this prayer line. And the Bible said to know to do good and do it not to you is sin. So sometimes we want to put self first and don't put God's word. So I know that sometimes I'm lacking in certain things, but God said put away those things and that we turn from our wicked ways. And I'm talking about Sister Leola. So I just want to thank God for his word. Amen. And now we ask that you press 1 and you can share. But I will just read a little scripture about how much the Lord loves us and what he did and then also what he's doing. You know, I took a look at, I was doing like a study in Matthew's, and I just want to read that right quick. Matthew's chapter 11, and it's talking about Jesus, the eulogy of John. And let's just read that right quick. We go through so many funerals and hear so many things. Let's see what Jesus did at John's eulogy. It said, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in the king's house. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way, thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence taken it by force. All the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that have an ear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he had a devil. For the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man of gluttony and a wine bibber, a friend of a publican and a sinner. But wisdom is justified of her children. And I'm going to read just a little bit more because I want to bring a point. One about John's eulogy and two, and the other one, let me make sure. One about John's eulogy. Okay, let's continue with 21. It says, woe unto excuse me, let me go to 21 because I wanted to make my point. Okay, 24. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerant for the land of Sodom in that day of judgment than for thee. At that time, Jesus answered and said, thank thee, O Father of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me and my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth no man the Father, save the Son, he whosoever the Son will reveal. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And sisters and brothers, I just want to bring this because as Christ was talking about the eulogy of John, he spoke of John. John was to bring to prepare the way for Christ, and this John work was done after they killed John. After they killed him, his eulogy was spoken of by Christ. So Christ is showing us in verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, and behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare. So John prepared the way for Christ, but all this is talking about Christ, because at verse 8, it talks about when you went out to see a man, the man clothed in soft raiment, he is in the king's house. Christ was the prophet, all these things that John prepared the way. So as verse 12 talking about, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and violence taking it by force. So we see, sisters and brothers, how Christ was just explaining that these same things gonna happen to him. You know, John the Baptist was killed by men that didn't even concern themselves what he was preaching. He was preaching Christ, and they killed him for preaching Christ. But now Christ is saying that he is the one that John prepared the way, and we are to receive him. In verse 14, he said, "If you will receive the this is Elias, which come for, I mean, this is which Elijah was, Jesus coming to preach the gospel. He coming to tell us about the word." So if you have any comments or you want to share your scriptures, we ask them that you please press 1 and your line will be open. I will open the lines and just to share a little bit with you, sisters and brothers, about what the Lord had did for us. And what he did for John and what he will do for us. So we got a couple of that press 1. So let's begin to open the line. We open the first line for 985-232. Your line is open. Amen.
Amen. Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Louisiana. I want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up every day. That's the wonderful thing he's done for us. And we thank him for that, because if he wouldn't have did that, we'd never be here. So we thank God for that. And blessing us and preparing our meals. We thank God for a lot of blessings he poured upon us. I would like to read a prayer, devotion prayer. God, because these words will be praised. I would like to read this prayer. Lord God, I need to love you above all and put following and fellowshipping with you above the lost. Wait, let me read. Lord God, I need to love you above all and put following and fellowship with you above the pursuit of my own happiness. The world may be content to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Second Timothy, but no child of God can deliver. No child of God can be worldly. Content Second Timothy 3:4, child of God can be, and worldly. Content while his priorities are disarranged. Help me to reorder them according to your will, Lord. Amen. I just want to thank God for his encouraging words that we may follow his word and that we may get on a board and get everything in order according to his will. But first, we're asking him to help us so he can give us the orders to follow his will. And I just want to thank the Lord because we can't do nothing without him. He got to help us. And we got to pray and we ask that he forgive us of our sins and our iniquity. And then we can get the gate open. So we just want to thank him. And we love him because he loved us and gave his only begotten son. So we thank the Lord for everything. And, we just want to continue praying one for another. I shall pray for my family. And prayer for our Advent Light family, our prayer wars, those that's on the prayer line, those that's missing. Pray for the sick, the homeless, our bereaved family, our mother that went to the family bereaved, and pray that they are doing fine and the Lord have wrapped his arm around the whole family and her, and they are doing fine and they are back together. Come back in one piece and God can bless her to be as she was when she left. Amen. And we just want to pray for rest of our family that are in Berea and those that are in the shelter, outside and wherever they may be. And we'll continue to pray for the all the ministries that then like family have, that they may prosper. And we want to continue to pray for our brothers that are in the ministry on the prayer line, those that do the seat. Wanna pray for the upcoming events they have. And we just want to ask God to bless each and every one on that Advent Light prayer line. And God bless each and every one. Hope you all. Amen.
Amen. And Sister Brenda, what 2 Timothy, what you was reading?
It's 2 Timothy 3 and chapter 3, verse 4.
Okay. And I want to just read it over for you because, you know, sometimes some of the words be not understood. So Sister Brenda was reading 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Or you were saying chapter 3 And is it without natural affection, true breakers? That's what you were reading? False accusers?
Yeah.
Accusers?
Yeah, that's what they say. Second Timothy 3 and 4.
Okay, yes, sisters and brothers. She was reading a character trait of unconverted. And I would just read that for Sister Brenda, her point she was trying to make. She was saying that this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud and blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusing, and contempt, fierce and despised of those that are good, traitors, haters, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. For such a turn away, oh, do we see this in the world today? But we pray, you know, brothers and sisters, as we just read that, you know, we all play a part in some of these things, but by God's grace, we are praying and we are asking God for a change of heart and asking the Lord to strengthen us. And, you know, by reading and studying the Bible and beholding the Bible, what Jesus said, beholding Christ and looking to Jesus, don't take your eyes off of him. You don't want to look to no man because that's how we fall. But by doing this, you know, keeping our eyes on Jesus, you know, we are becoming changed. And that's what God asks you, to keep your eyes on me and we become changed, because all these things, the Bible say, is in the world today. So we want to thank you, Sister Brenda, for reading that scripture, because, you know, by reading scriptures, God will help us to become more perfect and in his word. So that's what we have to do. He said, search the scriptures, study them, and read them, and then turn from our ways. So I just want to thank Sister Brenda for sharing the scripture. Amen. So thank you, Sister Brenda. I write down the name, Brother Ujah and the family, and we will keep you all in prayer. And also you made the request, the prayer line. So thank you once again, as we, Brother Akeem will be our speaker tonight, brothers and sisters. So we pray that everybody be a little patient and we can let everybody hear what, give a share a testimony. And we're going to ask that everybody be brief, because we want the Lord to bless Brother Akeem to bring the word. So we're going to open the next line, 27277. Your line is open. Can you give us your name and where you're calling from, please? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. God bless you. Thank you so much. I just want to give the Lord praise and thanks and honor for taking good care of me and my family, and taking good care of you and all of my precious, beloved brothers and sisters on this prayer line this evening. And I just want to lift them all up in prayer. And I'd just like to sing a song, if I may. But God bless you all, and the Lord gets all the praise and honor and glory and adoration, because he is so worthy to be praised. Amen and amen. Okay. Power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you all evil a victory win? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live dearly his praises to sing? There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd just like to read a verse in Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Amen. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and his sheep is of his pasture. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. Please, I ask for prayers for every one on this prayer line this evening, prayers for my precious brothers and sisters, prayers for you, Sister Leola, and your husband, Brother Ray. Prayers for Sister Powell, safe travel and mercies. Prayer for Sister Stephanie and her children, KJ and Kaja. And prayer for my family as well. And all of my children and grandchildren, I'd like to lift them up in healing prayer as well. And prayer for Sister Brenda and her husband, Brother John. Thank you so much. God bless you and love you always and forever and more. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Tomiko, for there's power in the blood, and we know that that power in the blood is going to keep us from doing all those things, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. It keeps us, the power in the blood. So we thank you for bringing that song. What a blessing right after reading that song. Thank you so much, because we need that power. We need our Savior and what he has done for us. So thank you for bringing that to us, and we will
Amen.
Lift up prayers. Amen. And God bless
Amen.
You and your family.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Love you. Amen. Love you too, my sister. So brothers and sisters, what a blessing to be on the prayer line as we are sharing. And I just want to thank everyone. We're going to open the next line as Brother Eli has pressed one. And then we got one more that pressed one. Brothers and sisters, I will get to you as soon as possible. We open the next line, 857-505. Your line is open. Amen.
Amen. Hello, beloved. Hello, Sister Miola. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Sister Miola. Oh, Sister Miola. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, Sister Miola. I am so blessed with that song, Sister Miola. When Sister Tomiko sings that song, there is power. There is power. Hallelujah, Sister. Hallelujah, Sister Tomiko and Sister Miola. Praise the Lord. I have a testimony, my dear sister. I like to thank God for his love, for his mercy. I like to thank God for his grace, because he is good for me. He is marvelous, God. He's an awesome God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is good, Sister Miola. I have a prayer request, my dear Sister Miola. My prayer request is to lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Miola. My mom needs a lot of prayer. Please lift up my mom in prayer, because her knees is bothering her. So lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, please lift up Sister Abby on this prayer line. Her name is Sister Abby, A-B-B. B-I-E. Lift up Sister Abby in prayer. And don't forget to lift up her brother, too, in prayer. Her brother needs a lot of prayer, too, Sister Viola. Her brother's name is Noka. So lift her brother Noka in prayer because he needs a lot of prayer. Pray for Sister Abby because she needs deliverance at the moment, Sister Viola. And Sister Viola, please, Sister Viola, can you tell Sister Abby to push number one on this prayer line because I invite her on this prayer line, Sister Viola. Sister Viola, see, it's new on this prayer line. But Sister Viola, tell Sister Abby, do not be shy. Do not be shy on this prayer line. Tell her to push number one. Tell her to share her testimony, her greatest testimony, Sister Viola, because Sister Viola, God will break every chain for Sister Abby. God will break every chain for her brother. And Sister Viola, I'm praying for Sister Tamiko's son, Brother Taiwan, for salvation. I'm praying for Sister Kaisha, that Sister Kaisha will be blessed too. Lift up Sister Kaisha in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Brother Calon. Lift up Brother Calon in prayer. Pray for Sister Elizabeth. Lift up Sister Elizabeth in prayer. And Sister Miola, please lift up Sister Dorothy in prayer because her mother needs a lot of prayer too. Sister Tamiko's mother, Sister Dorothy. Lift up Sister Dorothy in prayer. And Sister Miola, I want to sing a special song by Sister Miola. When I finish singing the song, Sister Miola, can you tell Sister Abby to push number one because she's new on this prayer line and tell her to share her testimony and pray for Brother Jahari too. Sister Miola, Brother Jahari needs a lot of prayer. Pray for all of them. But Sister Miola, let me sing a song at the moment. Amen and amen. This Savior world today. Hallelujah. This Savior world today. He always there. Thanks, Sister Viola. Thanks, Sister Tamiko. He lives. Christ Jesus lived today. He walks with me and talks with me the Lord way. He lay, Christ Jesus led away. Sister Tamiko and Sister Samika in prayer.
Amen.
Sister Miola, can you pray for Sister Abby? Yes. Tell her to push number one and see on the prayer line.
Yes.
Tell her that.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Eli. Thank you. We will lift up Sister, I think you say Sister Tamika's mother. We will lift, have to add her to the prayer. But thank you, Brother Eli. Yes, he lives. Now, you see, everything is lining up with the Word of God. Praise God. Sister Brenda brought the scripture. And then Sister Tamika talked about the blood. Sister Leola can't remember. And now Brother Yudi bring in He Lives. So we just want to thank you for the song because all these songs let us know that our Savior has redeemed us and he is the one that's going to come back in them clouds of glory. So thank you, Brother Eli, for bringing that song. And we're going to go to the next caller. By God's grace, let us open the line for 518-744. Your line is open and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Leola. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And wow, what a blessing tonight. We had Sister Tamiko singing. We had Brother Eli just singing. I serve a risen Savior who is in the world today, and what a blessing that is, because, you know what, without Jesus, there'd be no reason to be on this prayer line. There'd be no reason to live without Jesus. And I'm just thankful that we serve a risen Savior. And, wow, that was powerful, Brother Eli. Thank you. I just want to give a praise report, Sister. We prayed last week for a lady in our church, Sister Lowell's. And I went to see her last Sunday, and she was, I didn't think she would be alive for more than a few more days. And praise the Lord, she came out of whatever it was that was happening to her. I talked to another one of the ladies in our church, and she went to visit her too, and she said, you know, her and Lois have been friends for many, many years. You know, we're talking 60 years, okay, not just a few years. And she didn't even know her. And, you know, when Retha went in, she said she just felt so bad. She felt that, you know, Lois did not last for more than a short time. And praise the Lord, she has recovered. She's back at the nursing home. She has two broken legs, but they're taking her to physical therapy now. And she knows her family, her friends now. And I'm just praising the Lord for that, sister, because, you know, oftentimes we pray for things and either don't hear the answer to it, or sometimes the answer is not what we really wanted. But, you know, this is the answer to prayer. I know Lois's son, Keith, is very, you know, he comes to church very, very seldom. He does come once in a great while. But I know he, you know, he's been faithfully going in visiting his mom, and I believe it will strengthen his faith to see his mom come through this like that. And I'm just praising the Lord for that, sister. There's so many prayer requests out there, sister. I want to lift up my nephew Brandon in prayer. He and I talk every Sunday. He's a truck driver, and he has to go make deliveries there every Sunday, you know, afternoon. So I talk to him for a couple hours every Sunday, and just see how he's doing, encouraging him to stay strong in the Lord. And he is fighting the battle, sister. And I just praise the Lord that he is. But it is such a hard, hard battle, especially when you don't have a big group of people to support you. And he doesn't. He has a few, but very few. And even his father, my brother, does not support him in his Christian walk. And so I have to encourage him every week. He's such a fine young man. And we just want to lift him up in prayer. So, daughter Ashley, she's doing okay, but still has not come back to church. And I keep praying for that, because she knows that that's where she needs to be. And so we just want to lift her up in prayer. And I just want to keep my wife in prayer also, Sister Leola. She is doing okay, but she's feeling like, you know, she's tired all the time because of these medications that she's taking. And she just feels like her worth is not what it used to be. And I told her, you know, our self-worth, what we are worth to this world doesn't really matter. You know, Jesus died for us, and therefore we are worth everything to him. To Jesus, we are worth giving his life for us. And I keep telling her that, but, you know, it's hard after you've been working your whole life, and all of a sudden you're just tired all the time and you can't accomplish everything that you'd like to do, to feel like you're worth a whole lot. And I told her, you know, it's not what we can do. It's not where we are or what we have. It's who we know and who's with us that makes us worthy, and that's Jesus. So I just want to keep wife in prayer, sister. And I'm just thanking the Lord for this prayer line. I wanted to read a couple verses out of Psalm 118. You know, it's interesting. I was reading, for worship this last week, and it says that Jesus and his disciples sang Psalm 115 to Psalm 118 during the Last Supper. And I just wanted to read a few verses out of Psalm 118. starting with verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can men do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
Yes.
I will stop right there, sister. That the Lord is merciful, and his mercy endureth forever to those that love him. And I just praise him for that. I just love Brother Eli. I always come down praising the Lord, and Sister Tomiko, and all of our callers, Sister Brenda, and Sister Leola. I just enjoyed what you were reading earlier too. So thank you very much for opening my line, for hosting tonight, and praise the Lord that we can all be on together. And looking forward to hearing what Brother Akeem has to present tonight.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. Yes, as I listen to the message, the word that you said, his mercy endures forever. You know, Brother Rick.
Amen.
When we make another day old, his mercy then endured. You know, his mercy have endured for us. Every day of our life, we wake up, get up the next day, and all that is because he said, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. He's waiting on us to do something, to be
Amen.
Blessed, to be able to say, to be perfect, to come to him and to reach that perfection in him, that holiness. You know, because when Enoch, when Enoch reached that perfectness, guess what? He was so perfect, God had to take him. So every day,
Amen.
God wait on us with his mercy and his grace. He just endured forever. So I'm thanking God for that mercy. And now that we have that mercy to be able to be here and to fellowship with one another, let's say what God has done tonight. There was a scripture read, 2 Timothy 3:1-9. Sister Tomiko sung the song, "There's Power in the Blood." Brother Eli sung, "He Lives." And Brother Rick, you bring the point that the mercy endure forever. Oh, praise God
Amen.
For these things. You know, if we wasn't here to encourage one another, where else could we be? You know, out there with foolishness or something like that, but God be the glory. We are here encouraging one another, singing songs, reading scriptures. You know, it's all written in heaven. Oh, Lord, let us be found with God. Done gave us a starry crown, because none would be without a crown. None would be without a star. So let us be found, that God will be give us that crown, sisters and brothers, because I'm grateful to his word. And you know what? As I was reading that scripture, Sister Leola has her trials. Everybody has their trials. We got to overcome some things, sisters and brothers. That's why we're still here. By God's grace, we will overcome. And you hear what Brother Rick just said? His mercy. That's how we're going to overcome. His mercy. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rick, for reading that for us. And we will lift up prayers as we open another line. Let us ask my brothers and sisters to please press 1. And share and give God the glory. Amen. Let me, just 1 second. I need to open my screen. Amen. Amen. We have, give me just a second. We thanking Brother Rick for his scripture. So now we are opening the line for 423-635. Your line is open. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good evening. Yes. Good evening. Hi, Sister Leola. Thank you for opening up my line. This is Sister Carla. Can you hear me well?
Yes, we can hear you very clear.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm just thanking the Lord for this first day of the week, and you know, in the calendar is actually the new year, where, you know, in the new year's beginning, in the new year's according to God's calendar. So I'm just thanking the Lord for his mercy, his love for me and for each and every one of us. He just woke me up a little earlier than I usually wake up, and, you know, just praying, and, you know, he just woke me up and put on my mind how a lot of people are being kidnapped and led into, you know, sexual slavery and just being molested, raped, and killed. And I, you know, when he woke me up and, you know, put that on my mind, or a dream or something, and I just got up and I just started praying, because there's so much evil going on. And we know the cup of wickedness is being filled up, and God is soon to come. And, you know, we have to get our homes. We got to get our life in order. And I want to read Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So we have to, you know, call upon the name of the Lord, and we have the testimonies to help us. We have the Bible. We have the testimony. We have evangelists. We have teachers. We have preachers. And we ourselves are disciples, and we're supposed to be like the Berean, you know, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So as you said, we have to encourage each other. We have to read. We have to fast and pray, because we have to go back to the diet as it was in Eden, where there was on fruits, mostly fruits, you know. So we have to go back to that diet, and we have to fast, and we have to overcome appetite, because that's where Jesus overcame on appetite, and our foreparents lost on appetite. We saw Moses fasted, and I believe it was either Elijah or Enoch also fasted, but Moses fasted twice. So we might not be able to fast 40 days, but we're able to fast, and we have to, whatever month of days we can fast, we have to fast and afflict their soul as we're fasting, so that we can hear the still voice of God and, you know, be led by the Holy Spirit. So again, thank you for opening up my line, Sister Leola.
Amen. Glory be to God. Sister Carla, you have kept it all. We have had a consistent how the Holy Spirit been leading us on the prayer line. As you have said, the cup of iniquity is almost filled. Sister Carla, don't you know, Sister Brenda, open up. I had opened up with the scripture, chapter 11 in Matthew, the eulogy of John the Baptist, and it talks about the violence that taken heaven by force. And so I open up with that scripture, and Sister Brenda came with the scripture of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 through 9, and talking about without natural affection, truth breakers, everything that breaks God's commandments. And I say, Lord, look at what you've done. And then Sister Tamika brought the song, There is Power in the Blood. And I say, Lord, look at what you're doing. I say, praise God. And then Brother Eli brought us the song, He Lives, okay? And Brother Rick come with us about God's mercy endured forever. You see how the Holy Spirit worked that out? And then you bring the cup of sin is almost filled. This is serious.
Everybody brought something that lined up with the word of God. Oh, mercy. This is powerful. So I want to thank God for all that share tonight, because everything there touched on each subject, how we need to draw closer and nigh to Christ. And as Sister Carla was speaking, I was praying in my prayer, you know what sin took Adam and Eve down? Was appetite. And I'm talking to the Lord myself. You know, if you can't get over appetite, that is a terrible, that's going to be the worst thing. That's going to be the last sin that people, the hardest one to overcome. Appetite, sisters and brothers, I'm struggling. And when I talk about the Lord help, for the Lord help, I need the Lord help. Because appetite will be the tough one to get over. But Christ said, don't worry. He said, because I have overcame, you can overcome also, because Christ had victory and he fasted 40 days. So by God's grace, sisters and brothers, we are able to do it. So we're going to go into prayer now. I'm going to offer a prayer, and I would like for Sister Carla, let's see if Brother Akeem is on now, because we do need to pray. We need to pray, sisters and brothers. Brother Rick asked for prayers for Brandon, and that's his nephew. He's dealing with something, and he's pretty much going through and having trouble getting over some things too. Don't you know we all have trouble getting over some things? It's a fight in this world. Why you think Paul say, I have fought a good fight and I finished the work? Paul had a fight. We got to fight. We got to fight until the end, sisters and brothers, because this fight is not ours. The Bible says the weapon of our warfare is not ours. It is the Lord. So let us put our trust. Help us. Lord, help us. And you know when we say that? Let us strive. Let us strive. The Bible says we're striving. But we can't keep trying. We can't keep trying. We got to do it. So by God's grace, we're going to do it, brothers and sisters, because you know we can't do nothing of ourselves. So let us begin. Let us start praying. So I will offer a prayer, and Brother Akeem is not on yet. He will be on in a few minutes. And let us ask Brother Rick can offer a prayer. So Brother Rick, if you're still on, just a call. We're going to get Brother Rick to pray this time. Amen. So I'm going to offer a short prayer. I'm going to offer the prayer for Brother Rick and his wife and Ashley and others. But I'm just going to sum it up in a shorter prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, you have seen how your Holy Spirit worked in harmony, Lord Father, as we started off with the scripture, how heaven will be taken by violence and all these things will happen in this world. How John the Baptist, you said John the Baptist came to prepare the way for you, but yet you said that they called John, John had the devil, and then they said, and then Christ, he prepared the way for Christ, and after Christ come, after John's death, and then they say Christ was a wine beggar, and he's out there with prostitutes, and they talk about Christ doing this, and Lord Father, and Christ is still out there saving their soul, the one who's speaking the evil and the blasphemous words about him. And he still said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So, Lord, I know that you are saving. You are come to save souls. But you said there's a time when it's going to be finished. And you said when that time is finished, when Christ stands up, you said that's it. There'll be no more intercessors. There will be no more advocate. Jesus won't be praying for us no more because he's finished. So, Father, we pray that each and every one of us been ahead, our mind made up,
and our heart right, Father. So, Lord, I pray for my sisters and brothers, especially, Lord, Father. Lord, Father, Brother Rick is praying for Brandon. He has in trouble, Lord. Staying focused. I have trouble staying focused. Lord, many of us, oh, Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit to pour out his power upon us, Lord, so save us from our wicked ways. Oh, Father, thank you for your love and that mercy and the power of the blood. Oh, thank you, Lord, Father, oh, from covering us from these sins in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Oh, Father, let us not be having these sins amongst us in our lives, but let us turn away from these sins and believe in what Jesus said. He said, you have the light. Now live in the light. So, Father, thank you for your light, Father. And, Lord, Father, Sister Carla brought to us, and Brother Eli brought to us, Jesus, live. Yes, you live, Jesus. And we can come to you in prayer, seeking for forgiveness and thanking you for your redeeming, your blood, your precious blood. Oh, Father, thank you. And, Father, oh, Lord, that mercy, that pleading for us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, pleading for us as your Father has given us to you, Lord. You say you plead, you pray for, and you have not lost one. Jesus, oh, thank you. You say your Father give them to you, and you have not lost one. Thank you, Lord. And, Father, oh, Lord, the cup of iniquity almost full, Lord. Let us be found in your presence, Lord, in your holiness, and keeping us, Father, and that we can be able to, when you come, we can look up and see our Savior draw nigh, and he can take us with him. Oh, Father, thank you. Lord, I'm lifting up Brandon to you, Lord. I'm asking that you see his heart, Lord. Father, help him to come to a prayer line, Lord, a sincere prayer line that may help him to grow spiritually, Lord. The Bible tells us we need teaching. We can't just go and get the word without the teaching. He said we need a teacher. We need to hear all of these things that Christ saying that is according to the Bible. So, Father, I pray for him. Lift him up now, Lord, and may he hear the word of God. And, Lord, we also lift up Ashley, dear Father. Lord, you see your daughter. She may be struggling with something. Lord, Sister Leola struggling. Lord, Brother Rick may be struggling. Brother Eli, Sister Carla may be struggling. Sister Brenda, Sister Tamika, Lord, we all struggle. So, Lord, Father, I'm asking you, Lord, right now, we present Sister Ashley to you, Father, and your daughter, that her father is lifting up and praying for her that she may come to you and serve you, Father. Oh, we thank you. And, Lord, we pray the same prayer for Jarvis, my only son, Lord. Father, I'm asking that you would please have mercy upon him. And, Father, I pray, dear Lord, Father, for Brother Rick's wife, Lord. Lord, she may not be feeling good, Lord, Father, but, Lord, you say we can pray for her and lift her up. And, Father, you said that you healed the sick and you cast out all enemies because they're trying to bring us down. But, Father, you say just bring it to you. And you say if we go, the laborers, Lord, I can't call a scripture, but, Lord, Father, if she's having those troubles, Lord, Father, and we bringing it to you, we know that you can help her. We know that you can heal her. So, Lord, we leave it in your hand. We asking you to touch her, Father, and help her to overcome. Help her to see Jesus and what he can do in her life. And let her give thanks and praise to you, Father, when you have done that. Amen. Thank you, Father. And, Lord, as I pray for my granddaughter, Amari, Lord, Father, as she's on the highway traveling with friends, Lord, Father, I pray, Father, that you give her wisdom. Help her touch her heart and give her understanding that when she says she prayed, Lord Father, let her trust him. Trust Jesus, because he is the healer. He is the physician, and he is the teacher. He's all things, Father, to us. So thank you. Lord, we lift up Shyla and Jarvis to you. Matter of fact, let me include all our grandchildren, and let me include all our children, Father. We want to include them all, Father, our sisters and brothers that's on this prayer line. We want to include all, Father, and Sister Tamika, Lord Father, as she are praying for her children, grandchildren, Sister Carla, Brother Rick, Sister Brenda, Brother Eli, his mother, all of our families, Father, Brother Udy, Lord Father, Brother Bernard, Lord Father, my daughter, Sister Nicole, Father, we lift up so many, Brother O'Neill, Sister Power, Lord, what Sister Power is doing in Florida, Father, Sister Stephanie, Lord, if any name I have forgotten, Father, I'm asking you, Brother Akeem James, Lord, especially he brings the word, his mother, his father, Father, his brothers and sisters, lift them up, Father, to you, and we just thank you for you answering prayers, and Father, and all, we need thine Holy Spirit tonight to help us to understand when the word is given to us. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray all this in his name, and amen, amen. Thank you, sisters and brothers. Now we're going to open up Brother Rick's line, and he can give us a short prayer by God's grace, amen. Yes, we have Brother Akeem on, but Brother Rick, you can say a short prayer also, because Brother Akeem is with us, amen. You are
amen,
you able
sister.
Or amen?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. All right. Let us continue in prayer. Oh, Lord, we just continue to come before you, Lord. As Sister Loyola just mentioned, Lord, we need the Holy Spirit tonight, oh, Lord. Oh, Father, we struggle, Lord, to keep in close contact with you, Lord, and we just need that Spirit to be enveloping us, surrounding us, filling us, Lord, so that we can keep that contact open, Lord. It's only with that, Lord, that we're able to see you and be able to do your will, Lord. Lord, we know that your glory is to do what is right, to be obedient, to be faithful, Lord. And Father, we want to give glory to your name. And Lord, we have failed. Lord, we will fail, but Lord, ourselves to you this moment, Lord. We are consecrating ourselves to you so that each thing, each moment of each day, Lord, that we can be doing what you have called us to do, Lord, what you want us to do, what you're pleading for us to do, Lord, to come to you and to spread that good word to those around us, Lord, so that each, so many more can come to the knowledge of you and how you want to save them, Lord. Oh, Father, tonight, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace to each one of us, Lord. You have been kind and compassionate beyond anything that we could ask or imagine, Lord. Father, we heard Sister Brenda, and we heard Sister Tamiko, and Brother Eli, and Sister Leola, and Lord, I don't remember any others. There may have been others. Lord, you heard my request, Lord, that we just lift up each one of them to you, Lord. Father, we're just praising you for the chance to come before you and offer up these prayers and petitions. And, Lord, we just thank you that we have this opportunity. Lord, help us not to waste it. Lord, just want to praise you that Sister Lois, dear sweet lady from our church, is doing so well, Lord. Last week, I thought she was going to die, Lord. And this week, she is up and around. And Lord, she is in her right mind, Lord, knowing who her family is and people around her, Lord. Lord, we know that only you could do something like that. She is in very bad way, Lord. Father, we just lift up all of our church family, Lord. I think of another dear soul in our church whose daughter just had a surgery, Lord, and it did not go well, Lord, and her daughter was in pain, and, oh, she's just crying out for prayer. So, Lord, we lift up Chandler to you tonight as she is in great pain, Lord, and she's feeling that you have left her, Lord, that you have not answered her prayers, Lord. Lord, we know that you are listening, you are hearing, you are working in her behalf at this very moment. So, Lord, we leave her in your hands, Lord. Please draw close to her that she will feel your presence, Lord, your goodness to her. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for blessing us. Lord, I just want to lift up Sister Leola's son, Jarvis. Lord, I think of him often, Lord, and you think of him every moment, Lord. You see him, you know where he's at, you know what he's doing, Lord. Please, oh, Lord, we just do ask if you would reach down and touch him, Lord. Shake him up, Lord, that he would realize that the path that he is on is a bad path, Lord. That you have a beautiful path, a perfect path for him to take. If he would just allow you into his heart, Lord. Oh, Father, we just pray that you would save his soul, Lord, that you would somehow reach him, Lord, and Lord, he could come on this prayer line. He could have such a powerful testimony, Lord. It would bring tears to our eyes, Lord. And Lord, I know it would bring tears to your eyes, too. So, Father, we just do lift up Jarvis to you and his children, Lord, his family, Lord. Each one of our families, Father, Sister Leola, prayed for our children and our grandchildren, Lord. Some of us still have parents living, Lord. We have brothers and sisters. We have aunts and uncles. We have cousins. We have so many, Lord. We just want to lift them each up to you. Oh, Lord, you know where they are, what they're doing, and you know the state of their heart. Oh, Lord, I just pray that their hearts would come in line with yours, and, Lord, that they could be saved to your kingdom, dear Lord. Oh, Father, we just thank you for each person that is called in tonight, that is listening. We do ask that you would bless each one of them and their requests, Lord. I don't remember all the requests, but you do, oh, Father. You don't forget anything. And Lord, Brother Akeem, who is on, we just lift him up to you, Lord, his mom, his dad, his family, Lord. We want you to give him a double portion of your spirit tonight, oh, Lord. If he is ministering to people in Maryland, Lord, if he has a church that he is overseeing, Lord, we just do lift up his congregation to you, Lord, and his ministry, Lord, there at his church and also online, Lord. Father, bless him. Give him courage to do all that you've called him to do, Lord. And we're just grateful that he could join us and share with us another good word from your holy word, Lord. Bless us and guide us, Lord, as we leave these petitions in your care, Lord. We know that you hear, we know that you answer, Lord. And Lord, please change our hearts and the answers that we receive from you will be enough for us at this moment, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. I'm telling you, the prayers is such a powerful. So we just thank the brothers and sisters. Thank you for being patient. We have Brother Akeem on now, so we will open his line. As we offer these prayers for everyone, it's such a blessing that the prayer line brothers and sisters pray for one another, because we wouldn't be here today on this prayer line without prayers. Amen. So we're going to open the line for Brother Akeem. It's 301-604. Your line is open, and you may speak.
All right. Thanks for having me on once again, and glad to be on. And this evening, thank you for your prayers as well. And this evening, we'll be going and continuing in our study on the seven-headed beast. So let's have a word of prayer as we continue. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds, strengthen our hearts and minds in you. Draw us ever closer to you. We can do nothing without you. Lord, we know that by your power that all things are possible. Strengthen us, O Lord. Guide us as we study your word. Forgive me my iniquities. Father, have mercy upon me and use me as a conduit to give this message. The hearts of those who hear may be uplifted and strengthened in Jesus. This is my prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. So Revelation chapter 17. We read last week Revelation 12, Revelation 13, and Revelation 17. And we saw different phases of the same beast. Revelation chapter 12 and verse, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3 states, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his horns." And we saw last week that while according to verse 9 of the same chapter, that great red dragon is the devil in its very direct sense. For it says there in Revelation 12 and verse 9, "The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And we saw that while this was the devil in a very direct sense, it also symbolized the instrumentality, the power that the devil used in order to destroy the man-child as soon as it was about to be born, according to the end of verse 4. And that power, that instrumentality, was the pagan Roman Empire. Herod, working for them, sent out, gave a decree to those soldiers that he sent out to destroy every child from 2 years old and under, knowing that by that time Jesus was a young child. And so he sought to do this with the power of Rome that he had over the Jewish people to destroy the Son of God. Of course, his plans failed. Christ grew, fulfilled his mission, and ascended to the throne of God, according to verse 5 of Revelation 12. But we see that this seven-headed beast was manifested in the kingdom of Rome in Revelation chapter 12. Now, the same seven-headed beast was manifested again in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns." The difference here now is that upon his horns he had ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. We understood from last week and from previous presentations that this power was none other than the papal system. So at this phase of the seven-headed beast, it was the kingdom, the devil working through the kingdom of papal Rome. In chapter 12, it was pagan Roman Empire. In chapter 12, verse 4, I should say specifically. And then the next time that the seven-headed beast is mentioned, same seven-headed beast now, but at a different phase or stage of its existence, is in Revelation 13:1. And at this phase of the seven-headed beast's existence, it was not pagan Rome now, but the continuation of the pagan Roman Empire in papal Rome, the papacy. And so this is a powerful thing that we're looking at here. We're realizing that, whoa, it's the same seven-headed beast that we're covering in both Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 13, but it's in different phases. And we saw that these seven heads in our study last week are seven mountains. And these seven mountains, which are the seven heads, are seven kings or kingdoms. How do we know that? Revelation chapter 17, and we covered this before, but now we're seeing it. We're refreshing our minds once again, but in a different, with new information. It says in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 3, we are coming now to the final phase in Revelation chapter 17, the final manifestation of the seven-headed beast, all the while Satan working through it. Verse 3, it says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads," and here it is again, "and 10 horns. Very interesting. And notice it brings back this color of red, red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. Similar idea given here, because this is another stage. Revelation, by the time we get to Revelation 17, it is the final stage, actually, the final phase of the seven-headed beast. It says, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." Now, as you skip down, it's very interesting. You see the interpretation of the seven-headed beast. It says here, verse 9, "And here is the mind with hat with wisdom. The seven heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. And there are 7 kings. It seems like it's different, right? The actual Greek translation from which we get the English, the literal rendering is, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads equal or are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. And these 7 mountains are 7 kings or kingdoms. 5 of those kingdoms are fallen. 1 kingdom is, and the other is not yet come." And by the time you get to the other that's not yet come, it says he must reign or continue for a short space. That is the seventh. That's the seventh of the seven. So you have 7 kingdoms. And then it says 5 are fallen. 5 of those kingdoms are fallen. That's number 5. It says, "And 1 is," that's number 6. "And the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue for a short space." That's number 7. And notice the role of number 7. It says, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th. So in other words, right after the 7th comes the 8th. And friends, one of the things that we'll see is in an understanding of the 7th, you begin to realize it's not just that the 8th beast takes the place of the 7th, as it was with the previous kingdoms taking the place of one another, but actually the 7th kingdom prepares the way for the 8th beast, or the 8th kingdom, for a beast in Bible prophecy represents a kingdom. So these 7 mountains, these 7 heads equals 7 mountains, which are 7 kingdoms. Revelation chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. So I pray that this makes sense, friends. Now, by the time this was being written, John was saying, it's interesting, he says, 5 of these kingdoms are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. All right, and when this one who is to come comes, he will do so, he will continue for a short space. Now, the powerful thing about this is that how do we understand these 7 kingdoms, right? There, when you go back in the book of Daniel, as you compare the book of Revelation with the book of Daniel, it's interesting. You go back to Revelation 13, and as you look at Revelation chapter 13, the kingdoms are also mentioned, and you begin to realize, whoa, this is serious. What Daniel and Revelation are doing is, as you combine them together, both books, one interpreting the other, both books are revealing the 7 heads. They are an unfolding of the 7 kingdoms and the 8th that will rise up after the 7th. So they are revealing, as you go through the book of Daniel, straight into the book of Revelation, you see the 7 heads, the 7 kingdoms that are being referred to in Revelation 12, in Revelation 13, and in Revelation 17. Now, here are the kingdoms that are continually pointed back to. Revelation 13, verse 1. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast kingdom rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. So that means it's not just a political kingdom, it's a religio-political kingdom. And the beast, that is the kingdom which I saw, was like unto a leopard. Interesting. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. Interesting. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So this is very interesting because in the previous chapter we found out who the dragon was, right? It's not just the devil. The dragon is Rome, the medium through which the devil worked in order to destroy, in order, it was his hope at least, to destroy Jesus Christ. And not by coincidence, Joseph de Harbe in his book, What is Christianity, actually makes it clear that the papal system is not the annihilation of the pagan Roman Empire, but the papal system is a continuation of pagan Rome. So it's very interesting that it would name, it would actually call out these beasts, because in Daniel chapter 13 and verse 2, these beasts, the leopard, the bear, the lion, and the dragon-like creature, is actually referenced, it's actually pulling, Revelation 13:2 is actually pulling from the book of Daniel. Because in Daniel, we find the lion, but it's going basically, in a sense, backwards. In Daniel, we find the lion, Babylon, lion with eagle's wings. In Daniel chapter 7, we find the bear, symbol of Medo-Persian Empire that would take over from Babylon. In Daniel, we find the leopard, a symbol of the Greek Empire, symbol of the Greek Empire and its dominion. And then finally, you get to a dreadful beast, which, by the way, has 10 horns, interestingly enough, which was a symbol of the power that would take over after the leopard-like beast with 4 wings, and that was Rome. And then after Rome rises up a little horn, right? So it's very interesting. We find the same pattern. We find these kingdoms that are referenced in Revelation 13, also referenced in Revelation 12. Rome is referenced in Revelation 12, Revelation 13. Papacy is referenced. So it's very interesting that these empires would be mentioned. And these empires are the actual ones that reigned throughout Daniel and until the end of the world. Other empires would rise up, but there are 7 in particular that God focuses on. This is powerful because Daniel chapter 1 to chapter 6. Actually, let me look back at it. Let's go back to Daniel chapter. It's very interesting. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1, we have Babylon is the ruler. Babylon is the main power, the superpower of Daniel chapter 1, taking over the people of Jerusalem, taking them, many of them, into captivity. Daniel chapter 2, Babylon is still reigning. By the time you get to Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar is still on his throne. So Babylon is the power in Revelation, in Daniel 1, 2, and 3. Daniel chapter 4, speaking of the conversion experience of Nebuchadnezzar, still the Babylonian Empire. Daniel chapter 5 is the chapter where we find the fall of the Babylonian Empire. Interesting. Daniel chapter 5, right? Where you have the drunken feast that Belshazzar the king, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar gave birth to Nabonidus. Nabonidus gave birth to Belshazzar. And after giving birth to Belshazzar, Belshazzar grew up to be one who did not remember what happened in his grandfather's experience with God. Or not remember, let me not say he didn't remember, but he chose not to give heed to the warnings of his grandfather's experience. And so in his generation, while the kingdom was under his guidance, the kingdom of Babylon fell. And so by the time you get to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6 starts with Darius and the situation with the 30-day call to worship no one but Darius. But notice, Daniel chapter 1 to 5, Babylon is the superpower. In Daniel chapter 7, it's very interesting. It goes back to the first year of the last king of Babylon. So as you're looking through Daniel's 1 through 7, the kingdom that is emphasized, apart from Daniel 6, is the Babylonian Empire. Now, as you keep moving, you begin to realize that it now begins to fade. Babylon begins to fade off the scenes in the book of Daniel as you continue from 7 onward. And then you begin to come into the time period of the Medo-Persian Empire. All right? So Daniel chapter 8, we're still in Babylon, but now things are beginning to fade out. Daniel chapter 8 is the third year of the last king of Babylon. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, and this is the vision of the 2300 days. Now, as you keep going, Daniel prays, but in Daniel chapter 9, it says, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was king over the realm of the Chaldeans, that is the Babylonians. So you see what's happening here? In Daniel, we're seeing a fluctuation between different time periods. Two major kingdoms are the ones that are emphasized. Even though all the future major superpowers of the world are to some extent referenced, the two kingdoms in which Daniel gets these visions is the kingdom of Babylon and the kingdom of Medo-Persia. But in Daniel chapter 8, kingdom that would rise up after Medo-Persia is also mentioned, with the goat that would have a notable horn between its head, and that is the kingdom of Greece. So notice, you find three of the major powers, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece in Daniel 8 is prophesied to come next, and then later on, during the time when Daniel received, powerfully enough, when he received the vision of the coming Messiah, or the truth of the prophecy of the 70 weeks of the coming Messiah, in there we find a foretelling, just like in Daniel chapter 7, a foretelling of Rome, the coming of the Roman Empire. Even before the Medo-Persian Empire had ended, Daniel was seeing the coming kingdoms, the major kingdoms that would rule over the world. From his time, and notice how the kingdoms start off, from his time, Daniel chapter 7 does not begin with any kingdom prior. It doesn't go back to Egypt. It doesn't go back to previous powers. It starts off with Daniel, the empire that, it starts off with Babylon, the empire that Daniel was under, and serving goes forward into the future. So by the time you get to the end of the book of Daniel, you have in total, get this, it's very interesting, you have Medo-Persia, no, you have Babylon, superpower, Medo-Persia, these are the two major powers in which Daniel lived under and served to the highest capacity as a political official. So you have Babylon and Medo-Persia, but Daniel 8 tells us that there's a rough he-goat that's coming. That's the kingdom of Greece, right? Then after the kingdom of Greece, Daniel chapter 7 says there would be a dreadful creature that would take over after the leopard-like beast, and that is the kingdom of Rome. Interesting. And then out of the Roman Empire, there's this little horn that would arise, a prophetic narrative of the papacy. Five of those major kingdoms are mentioned and addressed in the book of Daniel. By the time you get to the end of the book of Daniel, these major five kingdoms are covered. And so as it is covered now, we go back to Revelation chapter 17, and we look at verses 9 and 10. specifically verse 10. It says, in these, there are seven kings, five are fallen. Now, notice, by the time you get to the book of Revelation, John is living, just like Daniel was living under two major empires, John was living under the empire of the fourth kingdom that Daniel prophesied. It's very interesting. The prophecies of Daniel, of course, go all the way to the end of the world. But the major powers that are spoken of go from Babylon to the papacy. So Babylon, Medo-Persia, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome. These are the major powers that Daniel covers. By the time you get to the time of John, John is under the fourth kingdom out of the five that Daniel prophesied about. That's Rome. Shortly after the first century, the way was being prepared for the rising of the fifth kingdom, and that is a religio-political kingdom, the kingdom of the papacy. Friends, Daniel, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 10, when it says five are fallen, these are the kingdoms that it's speaking of. Two other kingdoms would be introduced, but these are the five first kingdoms when it says five are fallen. If you go from Daniel's time to the book of Revelation, by the time you get to John, four of those kingdoms have already been addressed. John, by John's day, the fourth kingdom was ruling. The fourth mountain, if you would like to call it that, the fourth head was ruling. So Babylon is the first head. Medo-Persia, the second head. Greece, the third head. And Rome is the fourth head. And then the power that rises up to continue the Roman Empire is the fifth head. Five are fallen. So this is a powerful thing that we're realizing here. As you go through the books, you begin to realize through the book of Daniel and Revelation that, whoa, God is actually showing us from beginning to end the seven empires that the devil will work through from the time of Daniel all the way to the end of time. There are seven. God is saying there are seven empires in specifics that would become the superpowers of the world in their day, and the devil will work behind them to accomplish his agenda. Friends, God knows the details. And this shows us that we can trust him with the details of our lives. He's aware of those details, and he can bring the help that we need. God focused on these kingdoms. Some ask, well, in light of the situation of Russia and Ukraine, many are thinking, well, these powers then have to be in prophecy. And this is where you get into a very dangerous ground, because what starts happening is people begin to focus so much on what they're seeing that they begin to then try to read it into the prophecies, rather than allowing the prophecy to guide us in history and what we're seeing in modern day. And that's a dangerous thing. There are many who see certain things rise up and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Man, it must say something about this. And true, it does say something about this in Scripture. Jesus said that there will be wars and rumors of wars. But what I'm realizing with the evangelical world is, and many Seventh-day Adventists are even at times beginning to pick up the evangelical way of understanding the prophecies, is that they see something happen in the world, and then they try to fit the Bible to that thing, or they try to read that thing into Scripture, rather than allowing Scripture to dictate what they look at and what are the real prophecies that will be fulfilled. Don't get me wrong, friends. Russia and Ukraine are in Scripture. The Bible says that the war that's happening now between them, Jesus prophesied that there will be wars and rumors of wars. But beyond this, if we are looking for the major kingdoms that will play a part in the end time, it is not Russia, it is not China, it is not Ukraine.
The major powers are some of the powers that we're covering right here. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Papal Rome. But friends, notice what it says. After, it's interesting, after the five are fallen, right? That means there would come a time where the fifth kingdom, that is the papacy, would fall. And friends, it's interesting because historically we know that that took place in 1798. There was a death blow to the papacy. And so it lost its civil power. And so as that happened, very powerful, God is saying now, there's another one that's coming, the one that is. And so, very interesting, the next kingdom, after Rome is covered, this is very interesting. So go back with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, you remember the power. By the time we get to Revelation chapter 12 in John's day, this is actually even in Jesus' time, the kingdom that was ruling was the fourth kingdom, the fourth head of the seven. And that was Rome. Rome was the power that was reigning during Jesus' day, during the apostles' time. So the Roman Empire is the fourth head. That's the power that's being looked at in Revelation 12. But then by the time you get to Revelation 13, the fifth kingdom has arisen, right? That is the papacy. But according to verse 3 and Revelation chapter 17 and verse 10, even the fifth kingdom would fall. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3 tells us that it would as well. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. But friends, that deadly wound was healed. But when was it wounded? 1798. And that should give us a hint as to the next kingdom that would be focused on in Revelation. The next major kingdom, before we even get to Revelation 13:11, the next kingdom between the two beasts of Revelation 13:1 and Revelation 13:11 is covered if you go back with me in your Bibles in Revelation chapter 11. The beast that would rise up to take the papacy's power was prophesied to come at the end of the papacy's reign. And actually, it would cause an end. It would bring about an official end of papal civil power. And that, friends, was the most ardent supporter of the papacy. Revelation 11:7 tells us about that power. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, symbol of licentiousness, and Egypt, a symbol that while worshiping gods had an atheistic mindset, forming a god in their own image. And friends, the power that rose up after the papacy was dealt a blow, or even during the time that the papacy was dealt a blow, that was once the most ardent supporter of the papacy, was none other than France. And this is the beast out of the bottomless pit that is being referred to in verse 7. This is the city that is called Sodom and Egypt, because at the time that the papacy received its deadly blow from France under the leadership of Napoleon, friends, the French agenda had come to a point of wiping God out of society, especially the God of Scripture. And not only that, as the rules of Scripture were set aside, and not even set aside, but there was an agenda to destroy it. Friends, licentiousness raged everywhere. It went everywhere. And so, friends, it was a dangerous time. But friends, this sixth head is the one that took the power away, the civil power away from the fifth head. It was France that took the power away from the papacy. Hence, we have six kingdoms that we have covered. Do you see it now? In Daniel, it covers Daniel and Revelation. It goes throughout and covers these major superpowers. So the devil worked through Babylon. He worked through Medo-Persia. He worked through Babylon to attack God's people. He worked through Medo-Persia to attack God's people. He worked through Greece to attack God's people. He worked through Rome, the fourth beast, the fourth head, to attack God's people, even seeking to destroy the Messiah. He worked through the papacy to attack God's people, and we know about that, right, for over 1,260 years. And then, friends, a power arose that threw the baby out with the bathwater, not only had a hatred for the papacy, but persecuted the Christians as well, who wanted to have nothing to do with the papal system. The antagonism against the Bible was so great because of the heresies of the papal system that France just hated the Bible in general. That kingdom, France, was the sixth head. Next time we'll go back to Revelation chapter 13 to look at the seventh, which prepares the way for the eighth. But we're seeing now across Daniel and Revelation, as we put these two books together, we are coming to a knowledge of who constituted all seven kingdoms. And friends, there really are seven. Even the eighth, as the Bible tells us, is part of the seven, the previous seven. So we're going to find out there's really, really seven kingdoms. But when the eighth rises up, it's going to do things in a different way. It's one of the previous kingdoms, but it will do things with power that it didn't have before. And that's why it's called the eighth. But we're going to see that next time. So let's pray. I pray that made sense. Father in heaven, continue to guide us, Lord, and give us wisdom and understanding, and draw us ever closer to you. Lord, we can do nothing without you. We need you, Lord. Strengthen our hearts and minds. And thank you, Lord, that we can understand these things. But Lord, above all else, bring us into a deeper relationship with you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen. And I have one question, Brother Akeem. And what, that's chapter 11, what verse that the sixth, that France shows the sixth head of the beast?
That is Revelation
chapter 11.
Revelation chapter 11, verses 7. And you can go to verse 10.
11, verse 7 through 10?
That's right.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let me see if anyone else have a question that they need to ask on that. Let us see if the brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem will answer any questions you have. But you got to take yourself off the host queue so we can know that you have a question. If you have any questions that what he just given to us. But if I see no one take themselves off and put themselves back on, well, then I know no one has a question. But the next message Brother Akeem's going to bring to us is to show us the seventh. And Brother Akeem, I was doing a study of the seventh and the eighth, and I was looking at one of those popes had paved the way for the seventh, but I gotta listen to your message to see if that's correct, because I did a study on that. So, but brothers and sisters, this is interesting because we need to know, as the Bible says, study to show ourselves approved, and we need to understand this seventh and eighth beasts. So. But Brother Akeem, we're going to thank you tonight. I see that no one have a question, and we're going to just close out. And We are thankful for once again for you coming to share this message with us and teach us as the Holy Spirit leads you. And next week we will be eager to hear this next beast, because all of this is go hand in hand, and we and this prophecy, what we are listening to, all this is being taken place right now. So we thank God for our brothers and sisters that want to learn and the prayer line. We thank you all. So we're going to say good night, sisters and brothers, and we're going to also say thank you once again to Brother Akeem, because he comes on his own time faithfully to bring us these messages. So we're going to say God bless you, and let us just offer a short prayer. Heavenly Father, as you have given us the study on this prophecy of Daniel and Revelation, Lord, it has been told over and over, but it's that 7 and 8 beasts hasn't really, 6, 7, and 8 beasts hasn't really gotten all of the understanding. So now, Lord, as he's bringing this, we pray, Father, for you to help each and every one to understand him, because we don't want to take no part of the beast and his mark. And we want to know who Christ is, and to make sure we keep our mind and our hand, our life in him, and our eyes on him. So thank you, Heavenly Father, once again for the hearing this message on the prayer line. And we ask you to bless this prayer line to work with us on this prayer line also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you, brothers and sisters, and may God bless you, and you have a restful, peaceful rest tonight. And we, the next message, Brother Richardson, will bring the message on Monday night. I know everybody can't get on every night, but we just share it. And the next message on Advent Life Ministry, remember, we have a health message on Thursday. So, again, thank you, Brother Akeem. And thank you, sisters and brothers. And we're just going to leave it at that with Redeem. Amen. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell.
Redeemed by the